Today is the 8th of November 1994, and the title of this short talk is Amplification Material on the subject of independence. This material has nothing to do with the IP tech. It just happens to be on the same spool as the IP tech. I'm just putting it on to complete the just to fill up this side. It's a useful piece of space to fill up. As mentioned on the tape on the subject of differences and similarities, two propositions are independent from each other if they have no common class, or more precisely, and this is a more usual one that you will find in the logical textbooks, that two things are independent if they have no common deduction. In other words, you cannot make the same deduction from either proposition. One of the most important aspects, as far as we're concerned in therapy with this subject of independence, is its relationship to the if A then B postulate. We already know that when we postulate, we make the postulate, the general postulate, if A then B. And bear in mind, as I mentioned in the lecture on bonding, that this is that any relationship can be reduced to an if A then B type of postulate. So when we make this postulate, if A then B, we are bonding A to B, or we are putting A within the class of B. But we must also understand that when we postulate if A then B, we are making the classes of A and not B independent of each other. In other words, we are separating those two classes. So the if A then B postulate has this double action. It bonds A to B, puts A within the class of B, but in so doing, in putting A within the class of B, it ensures and it postulates that A cannot be within the class of not B, and therefore it separates A from the class of not B, or as we say more precisely, it produces a state of affairs where A and the class of not B are independent of each other. Now, it's important to understand that this is brought about by the actual postulate, the actual making of the postulate. Once one postulates if A then B, one has automatically ipso facto bonded A to B and also separated out the classes of A and not B and said that A and not B are independent of each other. To give you an example here, we'll dig up our old example I used in the earlier lecture of the example of if A then B. A person postulates if a person wearing a dress, then a girl. If wearing dress, then girl. Well, now, a person makes that postulate, they've not only bonded the class of people who wear dresses to the class of girls, but also have separated out and made independent the class of a person wearing a dress and a non-girl. And a person who made such a postulate, if person wearing dress then girl, if you was to examine his psyche while he was holding that postulate, you would find that these two classes, that is the class of a person wearing a dress and the class of a non-girl, were quite independent in his mind. They had no connection between them at all. And more importantly, he would have, while he was in the class of a non-girl, he could not conceivably get across into the class of a person wearing a dress. You see that? The postulate would prevent him from doing so. That would be the independence, you see. Because the two classes are independent, they have no common class. Because they have no common class, he cannot occupy both simultaneously. So while he's in the class of a non-girl, he cannot get across into the class of a person wearing a dress. You see that? Now that is the single locking mechanism of the if A then B postulate. Remember I said the single lock, the double lock? The double lock is the double bind. The if A then B is the single lock. Well, that is the single lock. It locks the person out. You get it? And it's via independence. It's done by the subject of independence. A person in the situation where he cannot, while he's in the class of a non-girl, finds that he cannot get across into the class of a person wearing a dress. In order to break this difficulty and regain his ability to achieve this thing, all he would have to do is to review his postulate. If person wearing dress, then girl. Once he reviews that postulate and changes that postulate or erases that postulate from his psyche, he could then, once again, be able to occupy the identity of a person who is not a girl, and while occupying the identity of a person who is wearing a dress. You get it? He would have regained his full ability on the subject, and that he would have broken the single lock of the if A then B postulate. So you see, this subject of independence does have some importance in therapy, doesn't it? Does have some importance. And when in therapy you find yourself unable to move from one class to another, just hunt around and see if you can find the if A then B postulate. There's a postulate there somewhere. The postulate is there, which is preventing you from moving from one class to the other class. And if you understand this material on independence, you should quickly be able to discover what the postulate is, and if you want to change the postulate and so regain your freedom in this area. I won't bother to give you the logical proof, go through the logical proof in the general case, which says that if you postulate if A then B, then you have ipso facto postulated that the class of A, excuse me, that the class of A and the class of not B are therefore independent of each other. I won't give you that logical proof. It's not a difficult proof, but it's simply unnecessary. It's quite trivial, but I can assure you that it is so that once you make an if A then B postulate, you have ipso facto made the classes of A and not B independent of each other. Well, that's all I wish to say on this subject, so we'll wind up this little talk now. When we get to tape number, spool number 14, you'll find that we pick up the IP tech again. So, thanks very much.